Happy Sabbath, everyone. The scripture reading is Matthew 25:14-30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, that hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I soweth not, and where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. David said it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. So we are blessed this morning to be here. God has been good all through this week. He has blessed us. We have homes. We have gas in our cars. We have food. God has been good. Amen. It's a joy to be here. As we just read from Matthew 25:14-30, the title of the sermon this morning will be, What Are You Doing With Your Talents? Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come this morning, Lord, because we need you, Lord. We come, dear God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, and Lord, just to lift you up. God, we are thankful for what you've done for us this week and all the weeks that are coming, Lord, and we just thank you to the spirit that you've given us. So we ask you this morning, Lord, that you may tabernacle with us. May you invite your Holy Spirit in us and into this place, that our minds are clear, our eyes and ears are open to hear your word, and that at the end of the sermon, dear God, it will have a closer walk with thee. Lord, I'm just a servant a lump of clay. Please, dear God, humble me and use me. Take my voice and my thought and align it with your character so we may uplift you this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If I were to ask the church this morning, what is the most famous parable that Jesus ever told? I would personally answer that it is the parable of the prodigal son. And when parables are mentioned, church, I often think first of that parable where the prodigal son went into the far country and he squandered or he spent all of his money in riotous living. We find that in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. And then when he finally came to himself, went home and found his father waiting for him. Oh, church, almost every family knows of some sort such of experience. We have all had children or grandchildren, even brothers or sisters that have wanted to see what the world has to offer. And to their dismay, they get beat up. They get dragged out and trampled upon with all the world has to offer. And what do we do as a church? We accept them with open, loving arms. Amen? So I can say, to me, this is the most famous of all the parables that Jesus told. Now, if I were to ask, what is the most tender parable Jesus ever told? I would say the parable of the lost sheep. We find that in Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. The shepherd went out looking for the sheep that had gone astray, looking through thickets and climbing jagged rocks and searching until finally he found the one that had gone astray. Then he brings it home rejoicing. It's a tender story. Or if I were to ask, what is the most comforting story for the helpless? I would choose Lazarus and the rich man. We find that in Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. Oh, Lazarus sat outside the gate, his clothes tattered and torn, and his body racked with disease and pain, and dogs came and licked his sores. And the only food he had came out of the garbage pails from the rich man's table. Then he died and found himself in Abraham's bosom, is what the Bible says. And there all of his miseries were over, and he saw an eternity free of pain and suffering. And we learn, church, in this parable that the sufferings of this world are as nothing compared to the joy that will be ours for all eternity. Nothing in this world, the pain that we suffer, can compare to the joys that we have, that we will have in eternity. But church, if I were to ask what is the most practical parable Jesus ever told, a parable that applies most to how we live our lives today, a parable that reveals how God acts and reacts to us, and a parable that shows how we act and react to him, I would think it would have to be the parable that we just read in Matthew 25. But I will summarize it. And it starts out by Jesus saying that a certain man was getting ready to take a long journey. So he called his servants and distributed his wealth among them. And then he left. And then he came back. And when he came back, church, he called for an announcing, an accounting, and those who had invested wisely, he rewarded. And the one who did not invest, he condemned. That's the parable, church. It's practical. It applies to our lives, saints, because it shows how God treats us, and it shows how he reacts to us, and it shows how we oftentimes treat his blessings. Oh, church, the master is calling his servants, and he says to them, I'm going to entrust you with my wealth. So he gives 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 to the third. Saints, he distributed his wealth among them and said, while I am gone, I want you to be stewards of this wealth. You know, church, he is the master. They are the servants. He owns everything, and they own nothing. The servants literally depend upon him. And if he were not generous with them, they would not be able to live. And now he has called them all in and said, I have been watching you, I have studied you, and I have concluded that you are faithful servants. Now, church, I don't know how many he had, but maybe he had a dozen servants. But out of all of them, he selected these three. And he said, I am going away, and I entrust my wealth with you, so take care of it. That's the parable. And you know, church, from this parable, we can realize that this master represents God. A God who has everything. A God who is a giver of life. A God who gives us air to breathe. A God who gives us healthy bodies so that we can think and plan and make decisions. But on the other hand, in this parable, we are the servants. Every day we depend upon the blessings just in order to breathe or to see or to think. Amen? We are the servants of God who distributes his wealth among us. And, oh, my brothers and sisters, he is always looking for faithful servants. And when they are faithful with those talents, he gives them more talents. Church, the master is constantly studying our lives, looking for faithful servants. And you know, one of the alarming parts of the parable that he didn't give the servants the same amount. He gave 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And you might say, church, that's not fair. But when we realize that this master knows his servants, so he gives to each of them, as verse 15 says, according to his ability. Oh, church, if he had given only 1 talent to the 5-talent man, it would not have been good use of his abilities. If he had given 5 talents to the 1-talent man, the 1-talent man would not have been able to handle them. But, oh, church, because the master knows his servants, he gave each one what he knew that one could handle, and then he left. Oh, church, that's the way God works, isn't it? God gives, and then he leaves us alone. He doesn't coerce us. He doesn't look over our shoulders. He gives, and then he leaves it in our hands. You know, church, God does open doors of opportunities for us. He gives us visions. He gives us dreams. He allows us to see just a little bit of what might be. But then he waits for us to see what he has given and to see if we will be faithful with it. The parable goes on and says, when the master came back, the 5-talent man came in and said, look, master, I have taken the 5, invested them, and now I have 10. Well done, good and faithful servant, he said. You have been faithful over a few, I'll give you many. The 2-talent man came in and said, look, master, I have taken the 2 talents you've given me and invested them. Now I have 4. Well done, good and faithful servant, he said. Because you have been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many. Then the 1-talent man came in and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard master and that you reap what you have not sown. So I wrapped up the talent and I buried it in the ground. Here it is, no scratches, no mildew. I've cleaned it up. It is just exactly the way you gave it to me. Oh, church, the master called him a wicked, lazy servant, or in verse 30, a worthless servant or unprofitable servant. And he threw him out into the darkness where there is weeping and wailing of gnashing of teeth. Oh, church, this is a tough parable, isn't it? And it got me meditating on God's word, folks, because I think that more of us would identify with this 1-talent man than with the 5-talent or 2-talent men. Oh, church, the 1-talent man was just an ordinary person, a lot like you and I. And he did something that wasn't all that smart, church, But he didn't steal it or embezzle it, church. He just didn't invest it. Then when the master came back, he presented it to him just the way that he had received it. Oh, saints, I want to concentrate on this one talent man for a few moments. Why did he do what he did? And you know, church, I think he did what he did because he felt inferior. Oh, when you begin rubbing shoulders with five talent people and two talent people, and you watch them rubbing shoulders with other five talent and two talent people, and then you look at yourself, it is easy to begin to feel inferior. Oh, I've been there, saints, and I'm sure some of you have been too. You know, when you see people doing things with grace and ease, and you have to struggle just to function in the world, and it's easy to identify yourself as a one-talent person. And most of us, church, would probably put ourselves into that category. But you know, church, there was something really special about this one-talent man, and he didn't stand out in the crowd. He was an average person, just like you and I. So we probably felt inferior. That the parable goes on by saying, Jesus tells us that the man was afraid. We see that in verse 25. Church, he was afraid because he had analyzed the master as being a hard master. You see, he didn't understand the master. God has expectations, fellas, and there's no question about it. But God is not hard, amen? He is gentle, understanding, and forgiving and merciful. Church, the man didn't understand the master. Therefore, he was afraid and buried his talents in the yard. The question I would like to ask this morning, what if the five-talent man had buried his five talents in the backyard? Oh, you know what the answer is, saints. They would have been taken away from him, and he would have been considered wicked and lazy and worthless, just like the one-talent man. But, oh, church, what if the one-talent man had invested his one talent? You know the answer to that, too. When the master came, he would have given him more talents. He would have been considered a faithful servant. Now, let me ask the church another question. What if the one-talent man had invested his talent and lost it? Oh, church, this idea isn't even suggested in the parable. And why? Because God's word, church, at best that I can understand it, never commands us to be successful. Oh, Brother Stevens, what are you talking about? Church, I have never found a place where God says, if you try and fail, I will condemn you. God's word commands only faithfulness. Be faithful and God will provide the increase. Amen? And that's the truth of the Bible, saints. You know, church, just recently I read an article about a minister of a church that was just 3 months old with 40 members, and they were meeting in a school classroom. And the minister said, as he looked back on that little gathering of believers, they were best at one talent church. He even thought at one time they may have been only a 3/4 talent of a church. But all he knew, they were all, almost every other little congregation struggling to grow. But one thing he did notice, church, that there was one sparkling difference in this small church, and that was the people weren't afraid. They knew that they were ordinary, but they weren't afraid. So they took the one talent and invested in God. And you know what else he said, church? There were some who wanted to bury that one talent in their own backyard. But he was convinced that if they had buried it, that the church would have remained a one-talent church, like thousands of other one-talent churches across the country. Church, the minister further went on to say that they took their talent and invested it, and God gave them two. They had built their first building and had moved out of the rented quarters they were in. And soon, they were twice as big as they had been before. And then over a period of time, he said, it became decision time again. What do you do with two talents? Do you bury them? Oh, church, the minister said some wanted to bury the talents, and they buried them. Had they buried them, they would have been remained a two-talent church, or worse. But they invested them for God. The minister said it was about the time that they had started their second building, three times as big as the first one. So they started another congregation and gave away some of their people to help them grow, and soon they were a four-talent church. Old Southside, it became decision time once again. What do you do with four talents? And again, it was decision time. And they gave away more than a third of their congregation to establish two or more congregations. But then the minister said there were others thinking that it was time to bury their talents in their own backyard. But God blessed, and the congregation grew even more. And now they were an eight-talent church congregation. And now the question arises, what do you do when God has entrusted you with eight talents? Oh, saints, you invested in God's kingdom. Oh, church, the minister said soon nearly half of all the church offerings were going for missionary. Another new church was started, and the church had to build a third building larger than the first two that they had put together. You see, saints, I am totally convinced that is the way God works. You be faithful investing the talents he has given you, and he will entrust you with more. You bury them, and you will lose even that which you had once. Saints, you don't lose talents by investing them. You lose talents by burying them. When you invest them for God, God will always honor the investment. You know, church, there are thousands of churches across our country that at one time were eight-talent churches. But they buried their talents, and now there are empty shells. But I also come to tell you this morning that there are thousands of Christians who have reached a level of maturity in their Christian faith and has become self-satisfied and complacent. They decided that they didn't need to grow anymore or pray anymore. Or even study anymore. They have taken and put God on a shelf and made our holy God secondary in their lives. And they start dying spiritually because they buried their talents. Oh, folks, the principle never changes. All the way through Scripture, Jesus is constantly challenging us to invest and reinvest again and again into his kingdom. And he will always honor the investment, church. He will never honor those who are afraid and who bury their talents in the backyard. Oh, I come to tell you this morning, my friends, that God's principles are clear. Jesus said, work while it's day, because the night is coming when you won't be able to work anymore. John 9:4. So, my brothers and sisters, we must all roll up our sleeves and get busy and don't stop. Because now is the time for our salvation. Now is the time that we work for our Lord. Now is the time that things are set right before us. The things and events are happening right before our eyes. We are a special generation. Amen? We're seeing the Bible being fulfilled right before our eyes. There is no time to be self-satisfied. There is no time to become complacent. There's no time to not reading our Bibles on a regular. There's no time to not praying on the regular. It is time to get busy in Jesus. Oh, folks, the message of the parable has not changed. God is still the master, amen? He is still giving all good things. And without his generosity, we would have nothing. So where do our talents come from, church? They come from God. They are his. So he says, invest what I have given you and see what will happen. You know, sometimes we talked about being fair in the Sabbath school adult lesson. Fear is something from the devil. If you trust in God and have faith in him, God will increase you. God will build you up to glorify him. So in conclusion this morning, church, I'm not going to keep you long. What will we do with the blessings that God has showered upon us? After all, aren't we just ordinary people? Are we just going to be afraid? Are we going to run out to the backyard and bury our talents? And if we do, church, then we know what the results will be. Or are we going to stand up and realize that He still honors those who have the faith to honor Him? Oh, church, the invitation this morning is to us Christians. Maybe you have leveled off in your Christian life and the Word of God doesn't have the power in your life anymore that it used to have. Or maybe your prayer life has dwindled and you aren't giving sacrificially anymore. Or maybe you aren't sharing your faith with others. Or maybe you are burying your talents that the Lord has given you. But the thing is, church, the invitation is also to those who are outside of Christ. Because you see, you have been given talents too. God doesn't leave anybody out. Everybody gets something, and He waits to see what you will do with it. And if you are here this morning, and Jesus is not your Savior, He waits to see what you will do with the little seeds of faith that He's been planted in your life. But, oh, church, the question still remains this morning. Will you invest them so that more faith may come, or you will bury your church or your talents? Church, I come to say this morning that the principles have never changed. They are always the same. And God waits to see what we will do with what He has given us. So He invites all of us, and I pray that we all will respond accordingly. And my conclusion is this morning is that may God bless all of us and keep us until He comes. And may we work until He comes. God bless you this morning.